Economic Consequences of Protestant Revolt. When men live the life of the mystical body, looking upon themselves as Christ members, they evolved economic organizations in accordance with their inner convictions. The guilds of the Middle Ages were the economic expression of accepted solidarity in Christ. They are not to be looked upon as primarily economic organizations to which religious practices were superadded. No, by them, men gave expression in their arrangements for the production and distribution of what the body needs to their full acceptance of the divine plan for ordered life. The rending of the mystical body by the so-called Reformation movement has resulted in the pendulum swinging from the extreme error of Judeo-Protestant capitalism to the opposite extreme error of the Judeo-Masonic communism of Karl Marx. The uprise of individualism rapidly led to unbridled self-seeking. Lawmakers, who were arbiters of morality as heads of the new churches, did not hesitate to favor their own enterprising spirit. The nobles and rich merchants in England, for example, who got possession of the monastery lands which had maintained the poor, voted the poor laws in order to make the poor a charge on the nation at large. The enclosure of common lands in England and the development of the industrial system are a proof of what private judgment can do when transplanted into the realm of production and distribution. The Lutheran separation of the Christian from the ruler or the citizen shows the decay in the true idea of membership of our Lord's mystical body. Luther said, quote, "Assuredly, a prince can be a Christian, but it is not as a Christian that he ought to govern. As a ruler, he is not called a Christian, but a prince. The man is Christian, but his function does not concern his religion." End of quote. This teaching had its economic repercussion in the current that led to the doctrine laid down in Daniel Defoe's The Complete Tradesman, according to which a man must keep his religious and his business life apart and not allow one to interfere with the other. Wrote Defoe, quote, "There is some difference between an honest man and an honest tradesman. There are some latitudes, like poetical licenses in other cases, which a tradesman must be and is allowed, and which by the custom and usage of a trade he may give himself a liberty in, which cannot be followed in other cases to any men, no, nor to the tradesman himself, out of his business." End of quote. It was, however, the Calvinistic doctrine on predestination and the signs by which a man's divine election could be recognized which specially favored the advent of the unlimited competition, unscrupulous underselling, and feverish advertising of the present day. In his able work, from which a passage has already been quoted, Professor O'Brien shows that it was in the peculiarly British variety of Calvinism, known as Puritanism, that all the Calvinist doctrines of success in life, as a sign of man's predestination, of the respect and veneration due to wealth, had their fullest development. To quote Professor O'Brien, "When all is said and done, Calvinism remains the real nursing father of the civic industrial capitalism of the middle classes. Since the aggressively active ethic inspired by the doctrine of predestination urges the elect to the full development of his God-given powers and offers him this as a sign by which he may assure himself of his election, work becomes rational and systematic. In breaking down the motive of ease and enjoyment, asceticism lays the foundation of the tyranny of work over men. Production for production's sake is declared to be a commandment of religion." Unquote. The Jewish writer Werner Sombart, in his great work, The Jews in Economic Life, attributes the great, if not the deciding role in the formation of the modern economic outlook or mentality to his own race, for to them he attributes the introduction of the ideas of free commerce and unchecked competition into a society with quite different ideas. He points out the contrast between the Jewish mentality and the ordered outlook of the Middle Ages in phrases that are worthy of citation. Quote, "When we examine matters more closely, we shall immediately see that the struggle between Jewish and Christian merchants is a struggle between two views of the world, or at least between two economic mentalities imbued with principles that are different or even opposed. In order to understand this statement, we must represent to ourselves the spirit which inspired that economic life into which, since the 16th century, Jewish elements have forced their way in ever-increasing volume. To this spirit, they openly showed themselves so rudely opposed that they were everywhere felt to be interfering with the livelihood and subsistence of the people. During the whole time, which I have designated as the period of incipient capitalism, the same fundamental outlook on economic relations prevailed as had been accepted during the Middle Ages. The unrestrained, unbridled striving after gain was considered by most people during this whole period as unlawful, as unchristian, because the spirit of the old Thomistic economic philosophy as yet swayed men's minds, at least officially. End of quote. The Jewish mentality was opposed to the outlook on life impressed on society by the Catholic Church.